Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck, I gotta make a little bit of a correction if I can. Want to thank Tori and Sackrell and Beertown Mike. Josh Jones was a Ted Thompson pick. I had that wrong.
Okay.
I thought that was maybe Goody's first draft. I should have remembered because that was right after Ted Thompson took Kevin King. And Josh Jones, not working out. He has reportedly requested a trade. I should have known that a fellow UW lacrosse Eagle would not have made a mistake such as that. So that's what I should have known. And thank to you guys for reminding us. But yeah, Josh Jones reportedly wants a trade. Will not attend the Packers OTAs. So a little bit of drama in Green Bay. How about that?
Drama in Green Bay? No way. to say this is so.
Desperate to try to get some attention as the Bucks have taken over the front page. The Brewers still on that front page as well. And they are playing well, despite what maybe it's felt like to start the season here. As Adam McKelvey noted, that long stretch over the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the road trips. They're 28-21. They're doing all right. Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Good morning, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, gents. Yeah, 90. That's a 92 win pace. I don't know. Maybe people are disappointed by that, but I think a lot of people would take 92. Think that puts them in contention for a postseason spot.
Oh, you shouldn't be disappointed at 92 wins. Hey, anytime you get over 90 wins and somehow if you don't make the postseason, can't sneeze at 90 wins, my friend.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, they certainly can play better. The thing that was early on that stood out was the pitching. You just mentioned Gio Gonzalez going tonight. For whatever reason, his arrival has stabilized things, not just for that spot, because he's pitched pretty well, but the other guys have kind of come around. I mean, Zach Davies was going already. He's the major league leader in ERA. But the guy who's really come on has been Brandon Woodruff. That was really good stuff the other day. I think, you know, I don't know if people were kind of in Bucks mode on Sunday. It was a road game, so, you know, a weekend game where people had things going on. And Keston Hiura hits his first home run. I think that took some of the spotlight. But Brandon Woodruff was, I mean, that was as good an outing as you will see in the major leagues. It was, you know, he hit 99, he was throwing 95, 96 in the eighth inning, got through eight, which barely ever happens anymore. It was really dominant stuff from Brandon Woodruff, and he's come on. I think, Bart, wasn't it you who we talked about the Yasmani Grandal quote maybe a month ago in St. Louis, where Grandal was looking at all the trouble they were having in the pitching staff. And he said of Brandon Woodruff in particular, he's like, this guy is right on the edge. He's going to start doing better. I know it. And it's kind of come to pass.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I sorry, Bart. I thought that was he was talking to you there on Grandal. You know, as far as...
I mean, all I would have said was, yep, it was me.
Oh, okay. I thought I didn't know if you'd respond. Our first miscommunication in 4 years of us doing these remotes. I will say... Josh Hader, is it a little disturbing that the guy's giving up home run balls?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's his numbers are weird. So he is, I believe, fifth in the majors among relievers in opponent's batting average. He's given up 9 hits, and it is May 19th, 20th, 20, whatever it is. He's given up 9 hits. Okay, that's good. He's not giving up any hits. Five of the nine have cleared the fence, which is just weird. And, you know, I asked Craig Counsell that. And anytime Josh Hader comes up when he gives up a run in a post game, Counsell's answer is if it's, you know, it's just kind of ridiculous to even ask a Josh Hader question, because when you stand back and look at it, he's been so good. And, you know, I just said that the ratio of home runs to hits isn't something to think about. And his response was, I'm not going to recommend Josh make any changes. And, you know, I think that's he's not wrong. I mean, the guy is pitching at a really high level. He's given up more home runs as a ratio to hits lately than he has in his career. He's given up two home runs to left-handed hitters. In his first 2 years, he gave up one to Anthony Rizzo. Now, those hitters are Cody Bellinger and Freddie Freeman. So, again, it's like, okay, you know, those are like MVP candidates. Freddie Freeman's an MVP candidate every year. Cody Bellinger has been better than Christian Yelich this year. So, I don't know. It's something that's a little odd. It, as Josh Hader said the other day, it's the danger of pitching up in the zone. It's the danger of, because you have one of the best fastballs in baseball, of challenging hitters with that fastball. And I think it's something like 87.5% of the time he's winning the battle, because I think the opponent's average is 125. So 87.5% of the time it's getting the job done. The other 12.5%, the guy's getting a hit. And then in a half of that, it's a home run. So I don't know. It's certainly something that's weird, because we haven't seen it before. But I think Craig Counsell is probably right that if Josh Hader just keeps doing what he's doing, and even if giving up some home runs, by the end of it, they're going to be really happy with his performance.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, at Adam McKelvey on social media. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola, on the web at MorolaLaw.com. A guy that I know we've talked about a lot has been Jimmy Nelson. I sort of refer to him as the brewer that cried wolf, because every time it seems like he's ready to come back, something always comes up. Well, right now, Jimmy's looking good. His last outing, 5 2/3, 8 strikeouts, was decent at the plate. Some of his off-speed stuff looks very good from Jimmy Nelson. If this isn't the time after 2 years that he doesn't come back, then I can't think there will ever be a time, because it looks like he appears to be ready when the Brewers are ready for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to pitch again Thursday. I talked to him the other day as he was driving home to Houston to spend some days with the family, because that next outing is in Round Rock, Texas, so it's all within driving distance for him, which has worked out really nice with the thing, you know, with the family and the twins being born early, and that being on his mind. It's been, I know, helpful for him to be able to be there for as much of that as he can. It's allowed him to focus on his pitching. Craig Counsell says after Thursday, it's time to make a decision. That means, I think that means, is it time to put him back in the rotation? Because every time I've asked about whether they would consider a bullpen role for Jimmy Nelson as a way to kind of, you know, manage innings, let him kind of go, you know, let it eat, as they say, for a couple of, you know, two inning stints or so. I'm told no, that they view him as, that they're going to use him as a starting pitcher. Part of that is routine. You guys know Jimmy Nelson. You've seen him before games. This is my 19th season. I've never seen a player more in tune to routine than Jimmy Nelson. It is extremely important to him. So that's probably one of the reasons why they like him on a schedule where he can know his duties for the day. I think he's probably a guy who thrives in that situation. And part of it is, as you said, the stuff looks really good. And look, I mean, I think the curveball, slider, the stuff that we see on video, it's different than what we saw in 2017 when he was good. The fastball is a little different, too. It's not the same fastball. But if that breaking stuff is better and he's a more knowledgeable pitcher and he's got this appreciation for the game that he talks about being away from it for as long as he has, I mean, there's a chance that he could be really good. And you know, look, I think he's maybe passed these tests, and it is time to bring him back. The hard part it's not like things were 3 weeks ago where you had all these starting spots in flux and this rotation was really floundering and you needed the infusion of a Gio Gonzalez. Now he encounters a rotation that's going really good. I mean, I don't think they're not going to do anything with Gio spot, Davies, or Woodruff. Those guys are pitching as well as you can pitch. Don't think they're going to do something with Jolys Chacín spot. He's your opening day starter. A veteran guy, had such a big year for you last year, pitched the important games in game 163 at Wrigley. And Chase Anderson has pitched well when he's been a starting pitcher. So I guess it would be that Chase spot if you're going to bring in Jimmy Nelson. They're in a period now where they have some off days. So I don't think you're going to go with six. So it's going to be a matter of where do you fit him in. That's going to be the trick, I think, when he comes back. But look, you invested all this time, 19 months now, is it, since he went down? If it's time for him to pitch, I think there is something to be said for seeing what you got. And I would think that's at the major league level. Because look, the other alternative is let him keep pitching at the minor leagues and just pitch really well for 3-4 more starts. But I think when Craig Counsell says it's decision time, I think he means the major leagues. So I think they're going to have to find a way to wedge him in that rotation and see what he can do. And I think we might be, 9 or so, 10 days away from seeing that happen.
Is Keston Hira here to stay regardless if he struggles?
Well, look, I did a thank you for the segue, Chuck. There's a fine inbox on Brewers.com right now where I tried to answer some questions. And this was the first one, and I put it first, even though I don't know the answer, because I think it's the most interesting thing that's going to happen over the next week or so. Travis Shaw is going to take BP today, then go out on a minor league rehab tomorrow, assuming nothing goes wrong. Normally that would just be a couple of days for a guy who's been out as short a period as Travis Shaw has. Obviously his situation is different because he's been so bad this year offensively, as he admits himself. Keston Hira is not just some random call up from AAA. He is their top prospect and one of their best prospects in a really long time. A really good offensive prospect and a right-handed bat, which is something that they sort of can use right now. So what happens when Shaw's ready to go? Look, I stared at this yesterday and I can't figure out a way to keep Hira and bring Shaw back unless you bring Shaw back into the Eric Thames role and just cut ties with Eric Thames. But Eric Thames has actually done pretty well in that role. Pinch hitting is really hard and results are, for the best guys, not very good. But you look at Eric Thames' production and he's been pretty good. And I think they like what he does as kind of that lefty platoon mate with Jesus Aguilar. So I don't know. I don't know how this works. In past years, I would say when you call up a guy the caliber of Keston Hira, you don't send him back down. Those rules are a little more blurry now with the way they move players up and down. So I can't even tell you that as a guideline. I don't know. And I am curious to see how they handle it. It could be the simplest answer, which is Shaw's ready to come back. You bring him back and you give him a shot because he's so important to what you do as an offense when he's right. And you just don't want to give up on that. And that may mean Keston Hira goes back down for a while. And continues to hit at AAA until you need him again. I'm as curious as you guys are to see how they play that.
Did they lose a year of eligibility with him for arbitration by bringing him up? I never know when the date is on that.
No, and it's not a year of its eligibility. It's adding a year for the player of arbitration eligibility. So instead of 3 years where you were paid like based on your peers, it's 4 years that you're paid based on your peers. So it basically, it's a matter of costing, at this point, it's a matter of costing the team more money in salary. And that deadline, it's the top 17% of players in this players with 2+ years of service. So there's not like a firm date where you can say, okay, here we go. He's no longer eligible for that. You have to look at where other players are called up and what other teams are doing as well. And there's been this spate of big call-ups lately where all these prospects are getting called up. And that makes me think teams think they're past that deadline.
But so they don't even know?
Even if it's close, sending if you do option them back down, that would also protect you against that and, you know, potentially save you a couple million dollars on a player.
So they call them up and don't even know if it's going to hit that or not?
Well, no, if you call them up early, because it's the top 17 player, the top 17% of players with 2+ years of major league service are eligible for an extra year of arbitration eligibility, which means you go into that system where instead of the team saying, here's what we're going to pay you, a couple thousand dollars above the minimum, players who are arbitration eligible get paid based on what their peers have made of similar ability. So Travis Shaw, for example, went from making about $500K to making $4 million or whatever it was in his first year of arbitration eligibility. So that's the difference when you get to this point of the season. So it's not that you lose a year. It's not that a player gets to free agency earlier when we get to this stage. It's just that teams will have to pay him more. But again, I think that so many teams have called up players makes me think that they feel safe at this point.
Does this make sense? I like sports when it's about numbers.
Yeah.
I don't like sports when it's about math.
No, I know. And it's weird because every sport is so different. I mean, sometimes you guys talk about NBA free agency, and honestly, I have no idea how
that works. Oh, that's so confusing.
And it's a total mystery to me. And yeah. So, the old days of guys having jobs in the offseason and then getting paid peanuts. I mean, those were the good old days in terms of figuring it out, but maybe not so fair for the players.
All right. The trade deadline is still several months away. Do you think the Brewers have in the back of their mind and their forethinking, maybe like in the next several weeks or so, some of the guys they might be scouting that they might be interested in and maybe an area they may have an area of need with on the Brewers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the bullpen. I don't think that should surprise anyone because David Stearns the last 2 years as they've been competitive, if you think about it, he's added multiple bullpen arms in each of the last 2 years. It was Swarzak and Jeremy Jeffress in 2017. Remember Jeremy Jeffress coming back? Mm-hmm. And then last year it was Joaquin Soria was kind of the big one. But then they picked up Jordan Lyles in a waiver deal in early August, and he wasn't like a prominent part of that bullpen, but it was a bullpen arm that they picked up. So, you know, I think that shows you that's an area that a contending team will add. I think it's an area for the Brewers where they're still looking for a little bit of depth and order in that area. So I don't think it should surprise anybody that would be a spot where they would look to add. And the other part of this is, you know, not to dredge up the old rumors again, but the draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. Once you clear the draft, if you add a Craig Kimbrell, you do not, he's not subject to forfeiting a draft pick because the draft is passed. So I think that's going to help Keuchel and Kimbrell. I think they're going to pitch this year. I'd be shocked if they're out for the entire season, as good as those players are. But that removes another hurdle to them finding deals. Now it's just money, cold hard cash that teams would have to give up to get a player like that. It wouldn't be a draft pick. So I think you're going to see a resurgence of those guys' names in the news once we clear the draft and get ahead of the trade deadline, because that's the way a team could add a player with only having to give up money and not a player in return in a trade. And what do all these teams have? Plenty of, not necessarily prospects, but they do have plenty of money.
Adam, appreciate it. We'll see you at the ballpark. Enjoy your time, and then we'll see you. I don't know what I'm saying. We'll see
that
you.
That was
we'll
so
see,
heartfelt.
We'll see you at the ballpark.
We'll see it.
Hey, Adam, appreciate it. We'll see you at the ballpark, buddy. Can't wait.
Hey, buddy. I will see you later. Give you a big hug.
See you, Adam. Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
I feel like this game today is getting you a little off track a little
bit. Yeah, see, I'm not just cold to you. I'm cold to most people.
Cold?
Yeah, I was kind of a cold outro with Adam McKelvey there. Just wasn't as heartfelt as you would think a big, lovable teddy bear like me would be.
Well, we got a big game on tap tonight.
You know, it's got me real nervous. Not the Bucks game, it's the Brewer game, because my boy's in town. It's Gio Gonzalez versus my boy Sonny Gray tonight.
Oh, Sonny Gray. Yeah, I hope he gets crushed. I do. I hope he just gets shelled. Shelled at his performance, man. I do. Hope the Bucks sweep this series. Then they have another day off on Thursday. 2 days off in a week. They could definitely use that because they've had a good run here. And then the Phillies in town for Memorial Day weekend, and looking to be out there for that. Hopefully the Bucks are clinched up by then.
The much anticipated Mount Rushmore question that I have for you, Chuck.
Yeah.
Coming up. Plus, we're going to try to give you a math lesson.
Boy, math and sports should not intertwine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I agree. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're going to do it anyway here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios, although that is not where Chuck is. Chuck is in Canada. It's all part of our Best Bucks coverage, brought to you by Robert Hack Diamonds, the Q Club of Wisconsin, and Hupie and Abraham. Injured? Call Hupie and Abraham, voted best, rated best, year after year. Visit Hupie.com today. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Before we do anything else, no matter what we have planned, when a BART caller standing champion wants to talk, we let them talk. John and Franklin dialing us up. What's up, John?
Hi, John.
What's up, boys? Just briefly, man, Milwaukee, let's take it down to the Deer District tonight. Let's get rowdy, and let's go ahead and get game four.
But, you going back to Duke's?
You can generally find me there on a game day at some point, yes.
Well, I'll tell you, Duke's gets more mentions on this radio station. They got to start spending some money with us.
Yeah, they're like the new Taco Bell.
Yeah, well.
The next time I have a bad time there will be the first time.
Wow, there's the slogan.
Yeah.
I got a few of them. You guys would love it. But anyway, hey, I just wanted to get up on the Brewers quickly. It's interesting, you know, the way when you framed it with their record and what they've been through. Because as a season ticket holder and a fan, I don't think I'm alone. It seems like it's been disappointing this year. But, yeah, it's been a rough stretch. The offseason, I mean, I don't think the offseason really went the way any of us thought it would, which is nothing new for the Brewers. They do tend to make their own path. Having Jimmy Nelson coming back, that's not a problem. We'll figure it out. Ketson Hiura, if he's got to go back down, the biggest problem this year is Aguilar and Shaw just not hitting. I mean, you wonder what you were going to get out of Aguilar. He started off carrying the club the first half of last year, and the second half, significant slowdown. And he's picking up from there, and you just don't know what's going on there and if it's ever going to come back. So I'm of the mind that, you know, it's not going to be easy this year. I didn't think it was going to be easy from the get-go, but I don't really care about $2 million or eligibility. You bring Ketson Hiura up because you got to patch one of these holes. I can deal with the lack of offense from Arcia because of all the things he brings to the table defensively. And frankly, he's been better this year. But as far as the rest of the lineup, we didn't bring Grandal in to have less run production than we had last year. This offense needs to get moving and take some of the pressure off this pitching staff.
And there's days when they do look great. Like last Thursday in Philadelphia, they put up the 11 runs in that game, and boy, they look great offensively. And there's many times this year they've hit multiple home runs, but sometimes it's, you know, like Saturday night's game they lost in Atlanta, and they did, you could just tell, hey, they weren't going to score any more runs in that game. You know, they just weren't going. At Wrigley, you could just tell they were not going to score much in that series. Sometimes these guys get into an offensive funk that you just wonder, wow, there's too much offensive talent to be this bad.
That call brought to you by Dukes on Water. The next time I have a bad time there will be the last. Dukes on Water, 158 East Juneau downtown.
Yeah, well, next time we mention them should be the time they pay us for mentioning them.
Well, no, we're
we're giving
Milwaukee
out free stuff.
Citizens. We've got lives. We go to places. Well, instead of saying, you know, that fast food taco place you and I both like,
yeah,
I think it's okay to say Taco Bell. You know how we do that? Maybe not. Hey, Frames, a little math lesson for you.
Yeah.
Do you know the Canadian dollar is 3/4 the U.S. dollar right now?
Say that again?
The Canadian dollar is worth 3/4 of what the U.S. dollar is worth.
All right.
So it's going to cost you less money to buy stuff in Canada.
Seems like things are more expensive here, though.
So how does that work? If it says it's $6 Canadian,
uh-huh,
it's really $8 American.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know because I've used my credit card. I haven't even thought of currency because I just use my credit card the whole time. So I haven't had to pull out any.
Then you're
going to
get dinged
bills
with an international fee. You got to take out cash, player.
For my American Express?
Yeah, I think you got to take out cash.
You sure?
I don't know the inner workings of American Express. I don't know anyone that's had American Express since 1995.
The commercials are on TV all the time. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, what the hell?
Hey.
I mean, what do you have American Express since 1995?
Every time I need, who does American Express does those concerts? You know, there's like, if you buy, they sponsor concerts.
Sure.
So they're like, well, if you have the American Express, you can get the cheaper tickets. And I'm always asking people, hey, do you have an American Express I can use? I'll pay you back. Well, I don't have American Express. I can never find anyone that has American Express.
Well, because some of those guys, you make enough money that you hang out with? I mean, no, I got
American Express. Is like a black card now? It's like a gold standard card?
No, but American Express, you get, I'm not going to make an endorsement for them, but yeah, I mean, I get travel mileage on it. It works great, man. I get travel mileage on it for through Delta. Perfect. I rack up some mileage on there. It works out great for me.
This conversation brought to you by American Express.
That was literally an endorsement.
head to AmericanExpress.com today. And
you know, nobody makes me feel older at 50 than you do.
Claim your offer.
I mean, nowhere do I go ever.
Nobody makes me feel older at 35 than you do.
How do I? You're the one who makes yourself feel older.
You're saying I'm lazy and fat.
No, you say you're lazy and fat. You're the one who says you're on the couch all the time. You're the one who says you're the oldest 35-year-old. That's you. I'm not saying that. That's you. But when you bring up 50, like, you know, like I'm walking with a cane.
It's time
for doing a nice job at updates today.
Thanks, Chuck.
It's time for the much anticipated Mount Rushmore question.
Let's get to that.
That I have for you.
Speaking of dated.
Well, so the Mount Rushmore conversation is basically another way to say who are the four best in a certain thing. And I wanted to ask you, if Giannis is on the Mount Rushmore of the Bucks yet. And if he's not, how close he would be.
You mean as far as the greatest players of all time?
Think of all the greatest players that have ever played for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Is Giannis a top four? Is he on the Mount Rushmore?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Who would you say your top four is?
Well, I think, and this is why I wanted to bring up this point, Chuck, is because I don't know. Because I think with, like, the Brewers, I can look at the Brewers' history and think of, you know, the Molitors and the Younts, and you can, for whatever reason, I can try to piece together a top four pretty easily. And, you know, the Packers, it's going to be hard to do because there have been so many guys over 100 years. But if you look at the top four impactful Packers of all time, you might look at, like, Lombardi, Lambeau, and then you throw in one of the quarterbacks and, you know, somebody else. I think with the Bucks were so good so long ago. Like, I truly can't tell you how good Bob Lanier was. And Marcus Johnson, while he got his number retired, I'm still learning about how good of a player he was. And even like Sidney Moncrief and Dandridge and all these guys that have their numbers retired, the Big O and even Kareem. Like, I can't, it just, it's not as much of a, I can't connect it as well as I can with the other teams. The 60 Packers for me, for whatever reason, are easier to connect to today. And the 80 Brewers are easier to connect to today than the 70 Bucks are to connect to today's Bucks. And maybe that's because they only started, like, acknowledging them with this new ownership group.
Well, I would say Kareem for sure is in the Hall of on that Mount Rushmore. He's in the Hall of Fame. Oscar Robertson in the Hall of Fame and on the Mount Rushmore. And then, you know, do you say Ray Allen? Well, you know, how many playoff series, what did he ever do here? Did he win any MVPs? No. You know, Marcus Johnson, 5-time All-Star. you would think on there. Had a better career at the Bucks than Ray Allen did, Marcus Johnson. And, you know, Lanier didn't play here. Lanier is past his prime. You mentioned Lanier. He was past his prime, although very, very big part of those Bucks teams that never could get it done in the 80s. But I'd have to put Giannis on mere talent. Giannis Antetokounmpo is definitely on that Mount Rushmore.
Like, I would say he's on there, yeah. But I don't know who to, yes. Like, I don't have a good reference point to compare him to some of these other guys because...
Did he Moncrief?
I still, for whatever reason, over the course of my life, mm-hmm. There's not been a lot of even video footage that I've seen of Sidney Moncrief playing.
Okay, see, this is where an old guy like me benefits being on Sports Talk Radio Milwaukee because I've seen all these guys play. And, yes, yeah, Sidney Moncrief, you could make an argument for him. Geez, I remember when he was drafted out of Arkansas, and he was an impactful player right from the very beginning, both on the offensive and defense. He was always on the defensive, all defensive teams. Really good defensive player. Might have been defensive player of the year, too, with the Bucks, as I recall. So, but Robertson and Alcindor, first of all, those two are locks for the Mount Rushmore. And after that, I'd say Giannis, even though he's 6 or 7 years into his career, he's going to be the MVP. And I like to think he's going to take him to the NBA Finals. He's got the city on his back. Giannis deserves a seat at the table there. And I would say fourth, I'd go Sidney Moncrief.
I mean, just looking at what I'm looking at here, yeah, I would agree with you, but I haven't seen these guys play.
Yeah, well, I have. And I tell you, Moncrief, Giannis, and Robertson and Jabbar would be my big four in Bucks history.
So really,
the Bucks do their all NBA, all Bucks team of all time, first 50 years. Did they do that last year?
Oh yeah, they like slowly trotted those out.
Yeah, who did they put in their five, or who did fans put in their five?
Oh God,
I got the NBA.com version. Is that the one you guys are talking about?
Well, what does it say?
Let me pull up because I'm all the way down to 25 right now. You want the top five?
Yeah.
Top five.
Okay, top five. Let's go. Man, Moncrief at 11. Oscar O at 10. This guy
on the box?
Yeah, this has to be a really weird list. All right.
Well, this is part of my point, is that if fans voted on it.
Yeah, so it was Giannis 6. Giannis 5. Oh, this is individual seasons. Okay, that they did. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like 72 to 73 was 4. Abdul-Jabbar.
So you're looking at
3.
Something way off.
Yeah, so let me get the top players.
Yeah, you find the other thing.
That's all-time top seasons by a buck that NBA.com did last season.
Okay.
How many damn lists are there,
Jeez? find the poll find that the was voted on by one. Fans.
Yeah, they did that for their 50th anniversary. They did
Giannis is 6-5-2. That's.
I was like, what's going on here? Wait a minute.
Billy's in Brown Deer. Billy.
Hey. William.
Billy, people love you.
They love me. What you mean they love me? That's why they love me for.
Oh, they love you because you call in and then we get a bunch of tweets. Make that guy regular. There's the passion we need. Love, Billy.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that, people. I like that. I've got to ask my man, Chuck. Bart, I love you too. Chuck, I got a question for you, brother.
Yeah.
You just said that Ray Allen, and I'm not, this is me talking, so don't feel offended, please. Just asking you. You said Ray Allen does not deserve to be on the Mount Rushmore. Or no, you said, what has he done? And I just want to applaud you. I want to applaud you, man. That's tough to say in this city because everyone likes Ray Allen a lot, and he's a good, nice guy. He should have had more time here, right? George Karl pushed him away spitefully, right? That was an angry, angry move. I can't fault Ray Allen for that. But I got to say this. Before he got here, I was born in 81. Me and Bart probably shared a few bus rides together somewhere as young kids around this little city. It was a drought of stars. And Vin Baker was all we had.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say Ray Allen got here coming from UConn. He had the He Got Game movie. He made us relevant again. So I want to say, yes, Michael Redd multiple times waxed him on the court when he was with Seattle. I used to tell my friend, Michael Redd just did Ray Allen again. Why are you telling me he good? Ray Allen is not a finisher. He never was until he got with other good players. So I agree with you, Chuck. I want to say you're the bravest man on the radio. Absolutely. So yeah, my Rushmore would have to be though. I gotta put Ray there only because he made us relevant in the same fashion. I feel as Giannis is once again making the Bucks relevant. Y'all have a great day, and that made me feel good. They like my voice. That's what's up. Y'all let me know what's going on, man. I'll call him tomorrow every day.
Yeah, Billy, keep it up.
You know the guy we haven't mentioned on this was Big Dog Glenn Robinson. who was supposed to turn around the franchise, never did. You know, getting the furthest.
Mount Rushmore.
Well, I'm sure some fans
would. He ain't even into Dakotas.
I was going to say, they got Bob Dandridge here at number 4. Marcus Johnson, number 5. Number 3, Moncrief. Number 2, Big O. No surprise there. And number 1, Kareem.
So I have the top 3, okay, with Moncrief.
I would have to say, I mean, you have to have Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis nudges his way into the top 4.
Because even when we're talking Ray Allen, you look at Ray Allen, what he did in Milwaukee. Okay, he was a solid player, probably his best years. Because then when he goes to Miami, he's a role player. When he's in Boston, he's the third option next to Garnett and Paul Pierce. Well, you could say he's the second option because Garnett wasn't much of a scorer.
He made
at that
his
point.
Bones when he left Milwaukee, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when you look at all-time Milwaukee Buck greats, I almost have to go. I mean, obviously, we're going to go Kareem number 1 if you go off career, but I'm saying career in Milwaukee. Call me crazy. I might put Giannis number 1 because we're talking about him overtaking LeBron James, overtaking Kevin Durant as being the best player in the league, not just the best player in the Eastern Conference.
He's not over Kareem. He's not over Kareem.
No, not yet. Not in career-wise. But let's say, I mean, there's talk. Let's say Giannis wins a championship this year. Let's say he wins one next year. He wins the MVP this year. Like, at some point, we have to put him up on top 5 players of all time next to Kobe, Jordan, LeBron. If he's, you know, if he leads Milwaukee to a championship, the first one in how long, and wins an MVP this year, then you got to put him top 5.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. More on this. Jim Paschke can help us with this in a little bit as well. He'll join us from Fox Sports Wisconsin at 9 o'clock. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
All right, I'll tell you what. While you're sitting down watching the game tonight or, you know, later on this week, this weekend for sure, grilling out, and the first name that comes to mind for grilling out, Robert's Specialty Meats. Serve up dinner like a champion, like Paul Roberts can do for you and your family. Robert's Specialty Meats in Waukesha. Paul Roberts has got lots of options for you to make any meal satisfying. Hand-cut USDA prime steaks, the beef tenderloins, the awesome stuffed pork roast, the chicken breasts, easy-to-heat-up dinnertime snacks like the ribs on a stick. Man, ribs on a stick, you can either have it for dinner or an appetizer or whatever. Ribs on a stick, the calling card for Robert's Specialty Meats. Couple of minutes each side. Those babies are tender when they come off the grill, and they are good to go. Sometimes they don't even make it to the dinner table. You're eating them, you're chomping on them as you're making your way on the plate to mama's dinner table, and then she's all upset. She says, "Where the hell are the ribs and the stick?" And you say, "Well, I just had 4 or 5 of them." Well, you better go downstairs and make some more because I want some too. Marinated chicken skewers and barbecue, garlic parmesan, Door County cherry varieties, and the original gourmet burgers. Man, the gourmet burgers, an unknown quality at Robert's Specialty Meats. Go for the half-pound beef brisket burger. I'm telling you, you put a couple of those on your grill this Memorial Day weekend, and you'll be thanking me. Have those for dinner, lunch, breakfast if you want. 30 varieties of sausages and brats. They're amazing, the sausages and brats at Robert's Specialty Meats. The Wisconsin Wurst, featuring beer, bacon, and cheddar. Memorial Day weekend right around the corner. Get your order up. Call Robert's today, 262-549-MEAT. Check them out online, Robert's Specialty Meats, Waukesha.com, for some money-saving coupons. But for grilling out for these basketball games and for this weekend, the weather's warming out. Get outside, grill out. Steaks, burgers, ribs on a stick, Robert's Specialty Meats in Waukesha, Sunset Drive, south side of town. Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
The emotions of a playoff game is intense. The whole game, every possession means something. Then when you add to the count, you got going to 2 overtimes on the road on – you know, a game that you could have won. I think that's the most emotional thing about it.
Chris Middleton says it was more draining emotionally than it was physically to play that overtime game on Sunday night. They've got game 4 tonight, Bucks, Raptors. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, who is covering the games in Toronto. Joining us, our first international broadcast was yesterday. This is day 2. You'll be there tomorrow and then back to the homeland, which I'm sure you cannot wait for to get back on American soil. You'll
you know,
be
I love my...
making out with the asphalt as soon as you lay down, will you not?
Hey, nothing wrong with me loving America, man, and loving my town and my state, man. I love it.
I know nothing you do. Wrong with that. That's what makes Frames Frames.
I love my city. Love my city, man. We're going to be the new title town.
Yeah, you put Milwaukee on for this city. That is for sure.
Huh?
You put on for this city.
Yeah, I absolutely. We got a great city, man. Nothing to be ashamed of. I'm happy to say it, man.
Our best Bucks coverage brought to you by Hupie and Abraham, Robert Heck Diamonds, and the Q Club of Wisconsin. Your home to watch all the playoff action, while enjoying their huge indoor game room on Facebook or QClubofWI.com. The question I just threw at Chuck was, would Giannis be on the Mount Rushmore of Milwaukee Bucks? Corey says, what is the Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmore debates? Where are we going to build all these Mount Rushmores anyway? That is a great question. Mike says, my Mount Bucksmore, Kareem, Oscar, Giannis, Big Dog, and Vin Baker. That, unfortunately, is five. It needs to be four. Is the actual Mount Rushmore, again, Chuck, who are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, I don't want to get into this. You know, the five guys that he mentioned there.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, yeah. The five that he mentioned there. Vin Baker? Is he joking?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Ray Allen. Well, I mean, Ray, I'm not discrediting Ray's career. Ray had a Hall of Fame career. He's one of the best three-point shooters of all time. But and I thought he just did more, you know, after playing with the Bucks.
Mike did go on to say, not a Ray Allen fan. He didn't become great until he left.
Yeah. Which is true. Which is true. But Kareem, Oscar, Giannis, and Moncrief, you know, I'm a big Marcus Johnson fan, but Giannis is on pace to have hopefully a Hall of Fame career. Maybe, I don't know if that's too soon to say, but, you know, someday, you know, he's got a lot of work to do ahead. He's only 24. And, you know, he had a better career than, you know, a lot of those guys. He's on his way. He's on his way to greatness. He is. There's no doubt in my mind he's on his way to greatness and putting his name into one of – but right now, Kareem set the bar for the best Buck of all time. He has set the bar because he's one of the greatest NBA players of all time, too.
Where do you guys rank Chris Middleton among the greatest
Well, for
of all
sure
time?
He's up there with all the Max players. He should be getting paid.
Yeah.
I wish we could give him more than the Max. I wish we could give him $339 million.
Super Max.
Yeah.
Most polarizing player.
I wish he could make $40 million a year, Chris Middleton. 414-799-1250. Great thing about this show is if we are talking and you want us to not talk, you can talk. Dave is in Caledonia. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I guess advice for Chuck as a former branch manager at a bank that's now closed in the New York area. But you can use your ATM card up there in Canada at any of the banks that has a Cirrus symbol on it, which is those little two red circles. Just call your bank up, the 1-800 number on the back of your card there, and tell them you're in Canada so they don't put a fraud alert on. Then you have no problem using it. It automatically convert the money to the current conversion rate, which, like you said earlier, was 75 cents to our dollar, which means it'll be $1.34 of Canadian merchandise you can buy for a buck in American money. That's
Chuck, are you following this?
Yeah, my American Express you're talking about?
No, your ATM card. Like you use here in Milwaukee, your ATM card.
Yeah, I've just been using it on my American Express. I can't do the same thing with that?
No, because using your American Express card, if I recollect right, you are actually do a cash advance, you get a double whammy because, like you were talking about, earlier, was there is that conversion fee and it could be up to 3%. If you use your ATM card in the ATM machine, you'll actually get Canadian dollars. Whatever you don't use in Canada, you can bring back to your bank and they'll send it in and get you the right conversion rate for it. Or you can do it at the airport before you leave. Sometimes
this is why I hate going out of the country. This is why I hate going out of the country. All this bull crap right here.
It's not that hard, though, Chuck. You might need some greenbacks or whatever they got up there to tip for a waitress or something like that when you go to Texas Roadhouse again today or something like that.
You know everything I did so far. Yeah. No, it was something like the Texas Roadhouse. It was called Lone Star.
I heard you in the bathroom on the show before yesterday, on the big show yesterday. I heard you talking from the bathroom with a big echo in the background.
Yeah, well, I could do that part of the show from the restaurant itself because they had blaring country music going.
And you did the show from the bathroom?
Yes, he
Well,
did.
I did a call-in. You've never done a show from a phone-in from Strange Place before?
Not a bathroom. You hate bathrooms.
I do, but there's no other place I could go.
Did people, come in and use the bathroom?
Nobody was in this place. Nobody was in this place. But they had blaring country music on, so I had to go somewhere quiet. Where was I going to go? I'm going to go outside. There was 30-mile-an-hour winds outside. I couldn't hear anything, so that was the only quiet place I could go.
Thanks for the call.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Dave.
No, it's not a big deal.
You get the whole conversion rate thing?
No, I guess a little bit. Yeah.
Because money doesn't, it's not worth the same in every place.
I know that. I know. I just.
That's why Europe has the euro.
Yes.
To make it normal. And then Britain wanted out and now they can't decide.
Yeah. It's just a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get why the conversion rates are different, but, you know, it doesn't mean like I want to deal with it. That's the tough part. Cause you don't, when I'm here in Canada, you don't even think you're in Canada. You just feel like you're in the United States, just like a different part of the country.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you look at them, you know, like when you'll see on the, like the speed limit, you know, everything's in kilos and all. It's like, what the hell is that? You know, it's talking about Canada. No big deal.
We're talking to Jim Paschke. Okay. No, you're still there.
Okay.
I was just admiring what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're a captivating man. Sometimes it's hard to do a show with you because I'm so like, I'm just so enamored by what you're saying.
You've never done it. Like when you do a call in for On Deck, you've never done it from a strange place before?
Well, not from a bathroom.
Oh, okay. Done taking a shower before.
No. No. Yeah. No.
And a hot tub.
No. That's
done it naked.
That's a you thing. Hey, Jim Paschke, he'll join us hopefully from a decent location next on The Fan.
It's the Bucs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.